This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, you have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all and make sure they save you money wherever they can. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're just a little bit more than 2 weeks away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Hall of Fame weekend. John Parato on hand for Jim Leland there. First of all, John, great to have you back.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be with you.
Jim Leland did a lot of great things over the course of his career. Pirates, Marlins, Tigers in particular. To you, what made him a special figure, especially in Pirates history?
Well, you know, when he came to the Pittsburgh in 86, he was relatively unknown. He had managed in the Tigers farm system for 11 years, and then he was the White Sox third base coach under Tony La Russa for 4 years. And when he got the job, the Pittsburgh Press, the now defunct Pittsburgh Press, the headline was Jim Who. So he really came in as a very unknown person, and he took over a team that had lost 105 games in 1985. You'd had the Pittsburgh drug trials that September that totally overshadowed the end of the baseball season. You had the team almost move to Denver in 1985 into a public-private consortium of 13 businesses in Pittsburgh and institutions all combined to buy the team from the Galbraith family and keep it in Pittsburgh. So he walked into an unbelievably tough situation in 86, and by 88, the Pirates had come in, had a winning season and came in second place in the National League East to the Mets. And then 90, 91, and 92, they won the division. So basically, Leland came in and transformed, had a large part in transforming the Pirates from a laughing stock and one of the worst franchises in baseball to a winner. And, you know, he was beloved in Pittsburgh. He married a girl from Pittsburgh. He set roots in Pittsburgh, still has a home in Pittsburgh. And he just became a beloved figure. And, you know, I thought it was very poignant what he said yesterday in his speech. He said, his 11 years in Pittsburgh, it always felt like him and friends instead of him and fans.
Yeah, and not only that, to do what he did, and I go back to that era, I felt it wasn't just his ability to make lineups and make moves during the games, because I always felt he was an outstanding strategist. But I felt to get that job and to do that job, you had to have a certain personality to do that job. What kind of personality did Jim Leland bring to the table that made him different than other people?
You know, and he always brought this up. He grew up in Perrysburg, Ohio, up in the northwest corner of the state, near Toledo, right outside of Toledo. And he was one of 11 brothers and sisters, so he had a lot of different personalities he dealt with growing up with that many siblings and his mother and father. And the one thing he was great is he could relate to all kinds of people, white players, black players, Latin players. He could, you know, he connected with his coaching staff. He connected with the front office. He connected with the bat boys, the trainers, the, you know, everybody, even the media, the guys that covered him. You know, he was good to us. I mean, he would tell us what was going on, and when he couldn't say something, he would be honest about it instead of making up a lie. And those kind of relationships, when you're honest with people, they go a long way. And Steve, I first met him in 86, my first year covering him was 88 as a full-time baseball writer,
right.
And we still have a very good relationship 38 years later. So, I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is and the kind of loyalty he inspires from people who work for him.
But when you're managing the Pirates, you don't know what the front office is going to do or not do. And in the end, that team was broken up. And then he goes to the Marlins, wins there, and then to the Tigers. What does it tell us about Jim Leland, the manager, that he could excelled in other organizations and not just in Pittsburgh?
Oh, it says how adaptable he is. And, you know, like you just pointed out, I mean, in Pittsburgh, unfortunately, at one time they had the third highest payroll in baseball in 1991. Yeah. And they had Ted Simmons came in as general manager. They brought in a new club president, and they said they had to take the payroll down from $57 million to $20 million. Mm-hmm. So that meant a lot of the good players either weren't tried to re-sign in free agency or were traded before they got to free agency. And Leland struggled with that, especially for the fact that they came oh so close to the World Series all 3 years in 90, 91, and 92 mm-hmm. and fell short. But like you said, he went to Florida. They brought in all kind of free agents, made all kind of trades, had basically a brand new team fitting a bunch of new pieces together, and he won the World Series the first year. And then in Detroit, you know, he goes in there and they were awful. And his first year, he goes to the World Series. So, you know, a lot of things. One, like you said, a great strategist, a great tactician. But two, just the way he connects with people, the way he set the culture, the way he made the clubhouse such a fun atmosphere to play in and work in, and just this ability to connect with people and get them to believe in themselves. And he did that time and time again with different players that really just blossomed under him being the manager. And you know, I really can't say enough about him. I've met a lot of people. I'm 60 years old, and I've met a lot of people in my life, but there are very, very few with Jim Leland's ability to communicate and to put someone at ease and make somebody feel welcome, and somebody who just you just gravitate toward him. He just has that kind of personality.
What was it? You know, Barry Bonds is certainly can be a difficult guy to deal with. How did Bonds feel about Jim Leland?
He loved Leland, you know, and everybody goes back to that day in 1991 in spring training when Leland and Bonds had their very public argument during a workout, and, you know, went on, you know, was shown all over the place, national TV, and, well, the internet wasn't around then, but if you go to YouTube, it's easy to find. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought because of that they hated each other. But the thing about Jim was, and this was great because, I mean, when I covered him, I wrote some things he didn't particularly like sometimes, and he would let me know about it. And the one thing about Jim, if he got mad at you, he didn't hold a grudge. I mean, like 15 minutes later, it was over. And I can say that from personal experience, and I know dozens and dozens of players who said the same thing. You know, if he got on you, there was a reason for it, and it was he wanted, especially player-wise, he wanted to make them better. And sometimes to make a player better, you've got to get on them and you've got to be tough with them. And I think they understood that, or they came to understand that over time and realized that he had their best interest at heart, and he really did care for them and love them. And it wasn't a case that he hated them; he just wanted them to be better people and better players.
Well, I mean, look, in the end, if you can, like Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady had a famous one in Washington one day over Landover, and they both respect the heck out of each other. Doesn't mean, it just turns out life plays out in public for sports figures. It doesn't play out, you know, behind closed doors like it does in some other places. And obviously, Leland was a guy to be respected. What's your personal favorite story with all your dealings with him about Jim Leland?
The one personal is I covered the Pirates for paper in Beaver County, the Beaver County Times, for 21 years, and then the Times decided to cut back, and they weren't covering the Pirates anymore, so I was out of a job, and Bob Nutting hired me to cover the Pirates for his newspapers for a year, and because I wouldn't be a rah-rah cheerleader that didn't last. It lasted one season and moved on. And I was a free agent writer, and I became a freelancer, and I picked up, fortunately, a lot of gigs for different national publications. So it was my first year where I wasn't a Pirate beat guy for 22 years, and I mean, rightly or wrongly, it was my identity. I'd done it for so long, and I felt a little uncomfortable when I was making the tour of camps throughout Florida. And one day I stopped in Lakeland where the Tigers train, and Jim and I talked after the workout, and we ended up sitting there chit-chatting for a little bit more, and he goes, there's something really bothering you, isn't there? And I said, yeah. And he goes, what? And I said, you know, and he'd known what happened in Pittsburgh with me, even though he's managing the Tigers. And he told me, he said, at the end, we get up, he shakes my hand, and really grasps it harder than normal, and holds on to it for a minute, and try not to tear up here, but he said, you know, John, you're always welcome in the Tigers clubhouse, and I'm sure you're welcome in any other clubhouse in baseball, too. And at that point in time in my career, I needed to hear that, and that was 14 years ago, and it still sticks with me.
Wow. Wow. That's really impactful. There were other speeches yesterday, and obviously you're locked in on Jim Leland's. But did anybody else say anything that yesterday set back went, wow, something you didn't know before about the other inductees?
Not really. And I mean, they all were good, and they all thanked everyone. And Joe Mauer was, you know, especially more poignant. Tom, well, they all were good. Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton. But I thought Joe Mauer explained it well. As, you know, he had such a unique situation. He was the best college or the best high school quarterback in the country and the best high school baseball player in the country his senior year at Creighton-Darham Hall in High School in St. Paul. So he was the local boy, but there were a lot of people that thought the Twins should draft somebody closer to being ready for the big leagues. They had number one pick that year, and they went with Joe Mauer, and Joe turned into a great player. He won three batting titles, and he said, he talked a little bit about the pressure of the potential pressure of being the hometown kid playing for the hometown team, and how the Twins fans always supported him, always were behind him, and then he got choked up a little, which was understandable. And the largest portion of fans in the attendance yesterday were definitely Twins fans. I know the hotel I stayed in, it was just Twins fans. I mean, it was like all Twins fans, except there was one wedding. And other than that, I think every other guest, except my wife and I, were Twins fans from Minnesota. So there was a really big throng of fans for Joe, and it was really cool to see. I mean, I dealt with him a few times over the years. I don't profess to know him real well, but always such a nice guy, always accommodating, always friendly, and it was really cool to see how many people. And that's not an easy trip to go from Minnesota to Cooperstown, and you know, there's no main highways near there. There's no major airports near Cooperstown. So if you want to go from Minneapolis, to Cooperstown, you really, really got to work at it to get there. And there were thousands and thousands of Minnesotans there yesterday.
Is part of that, though, John, Mauer played his entire career with Minnesota, which, as you and I both know, has become a rarity across the board. Do you think that was a factor in all this? A hometown hero, but never played anywhere else. I mean, Beltre played a bunch of places. I mean, the one season he played in Boston, my son and I went to a game, and he had a grand slam, won a game, but that was the only year he was in Boston.
Oh, yeah, I think it definitely has something to do with it, no doubt. And, you know, especially the hometown kid on top of it, playing his whole career with the Twins. And, you know, there were, you know, he had his ups and downs. He, you know, he won the three batting titles as a catcher, which no other catcher has ever done. And then he had the concussion problems, taking, you know, foul balls off the mask and things like that. He eventually moved to first base, and, you know, the concussions took their toll. He wasn't a star player his last few years in the big leagues. He was still a good player, but he had certainly declined. And, you know, and there were some people that thought, well, maybe he should get traded, maybe they should move on from him. But the Twins stuck with him, and the fans stuck with him. And, you know, it really is just a really neat story. And really, it was really fun. It was almost, it almost had more of that feel of a high school or college atmosphere, mm-hmm. where, hey, this is our guy, this is our school's guy, instead of, you know, professional team's guy. And that really stood out to me yesterday as far as the fans. I just thought it was really, really neat, Steve.
John, over the years, you know, a lot of things have changed. You know, maybe they've tried to add it, make it a little bit better. Sometimes they make a change, it's worse. You've been, I'm going to assume this is not the first Hall of Fame one you've been to. So in that guise, is it still the same, feel the same, or is there a little bit different compared to other years you've gone?
The one thing I noticed is I hadn't been there in 10 years, and there's a lot more media that covers it now. Now, also, part of that may have been Adrian Beltre being Dominican, and there was a lot of press in the Dominican Republic there, too, that maybe ordinarily wouldn't have been there if, you know, for the American players. But, yeah, the thing has kind of changed. And like everything else, it's become a little more corporate and a little more buttoned down and a little more staged than it was 10 years ago, or certainly the first time I went in 2001 when Bill Mazeroski was inducted with Dave mm-hmm. Winfield and Kirby Puckett that year. But it's still a neat town. It really is. It's a village. It's the village of Cooperstown is yep. the official name of the place. And I don't know if you've ever been there, Steve, but it's a magical little place. And, yeah. and, you know, I'm a hard-bitten guy. I've covered baseball 37 yeah. years, and, you know, I'm kind of a little cynical, like most people would have done it this long. But yeah. you go there, and there's something special there. It reminds me of, in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, the town of Bedford Falls. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. what it really reminds me of, yeah. except it's a real-life thing, and it's 70-some years after the movie was released.
I agree. I've been there twice. I've gone through the Hall of Fame a couple different times in my lifetime, and it's quaint and special. Finally, I want to ask you about Rob Manfred. Now, I know he's staying on through 29 or something like that, but he always comes off as stiff, whether it's interviews. I mean, there's just not the passion for the game. You just don't sense it. Is he like that at this as well? Is he just that stiff corporate figure? Is there a little more warmth to him that we didn't realize?
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't resonate with fans. And I think you hit it perfectly, Steve. He doesn't seem to have a passion for the game. It seems more like he's the CEO of the game, and his job is to make as much profits as he can make, like any other business. And we know, I mean, professional sports are indeed a business, but there's something different about professional sports where there's a passion to it more. I mean, people don't root for U.S. Steel or IBM or Microsoft. I mean, people root for the Yankees and the Pirates and the Phillies mm-hmm. and the California Angels and go right down the list. And, yeah, even yesterday, he's from that neck of the woods. He grew up in Rome, New York, which is only an hour from Cooperstown. And, of course, the MC, Brian Kenny from MLB Network, said, here are our local man from Rome, New York, Rob Manfred, and nobody booed him, but nobody either cheered him either. It was just kind of nothing. Yeah.
It's just I want my people around me to love the game.
Yes, and
love the sport. I know he's an attorney. But you can't act the entire time like you're an attorney. This is sport. This sports. I know it's a business, but it's a business that brings with it passion of the fans who are around it. And you have to have a feel for that. And see, that's the part I don't think he has a feel for at all.
No, he just doesn't seem to enjoy. Whereas me or you, if we were in that position and we had a chance to be there on the dais at Cooperstown with 50-some Hall of Famers sitting behind us, it would be the thrill of a lifetime. But for him, it's just almost like it's not even business as usual. It's almost like, I'm bothered to be here. I wish I could be somewhere other than here. It's just mind-blowing, Steve. I mean, it is.
I mean, John, you and I would have goosebumps. And he's like, okay, and you're Sandy Koufax. Who'd you pitch for? Okay.
Yeah, really.
always a pleasure, John. I love talking baseball with you. Appreciate you so much. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Steve. Anytime. Glad. Always good to speak with you, too.
John Prado does an outstanding job covering Pirates and baseball. That's Manfred. Like, come on. I mean, I don't want you to... You don't have to be a cheerleader for the sport. You don't. But you have to love it, don't you? Don't you have to love it? You meet Sandy Koufax, and you sit there and go, oh, you play for Brooklyn, really? Is Brooklyn on the team?
At least look like you want to be there.
Oh, always important to give that appearance. All right. Take a break. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick from and well-equipped Super Crew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth generation Ford dealer proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sapphire brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Your destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, whether it's an athlete or a business. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. Well, how was the softball last week, the softball tournament?
It wasn't too bad.
I was
more excited I got my football interviews done.
Oh, there you go. And how did that go?
Perfect. So far, I should knock on wood before I say that.
Wow. That's great. Anything you want to reveal? I mean, I know we have to, you have to keep it tight to the vest on some things, but anything that you found interesting in that?
I find it interesting that I don't know what the heck's going to go on this season, which I think is good. I think it's kind of one of the more wide open seasons that we've had around here in the last couple of years. There's not anybody that you can kind of point to that's going to be super great, and I don't think there's anybody you can point to that's going to be awful this year either, which is good. I'm interested in Southern Columbia because they have a lot to replace, and obviously, they have that seven-year-long state championship streak. Talked to all four new coaches around here. I feel like all four schools made real good choices, at least in the summertime. In the time that I had to talk to them, all four are real excited. That would be Matt Wenrick at Sealands Grove, Cody Botts at Mifflinburg, Matt Wilson at Milton, and Jeff Janovich at Midwest.
Wow. A lot.
It is a lot.
It's
funny because there's been a lot of turnovers around in other parts of the state for years and years, and I always like, yeah, that doesn't happen much around here. And
why did it? I mean, why did it happen more around here than usual?
Well, there was a variety of reasons. Like at Milton, Coach Kurt Settlemoyer was that when they made their change, it was in late April, and he's the Milton police chief, and he only committed to do the year to fill in as an interim coach, so they needed a coach. The coach at Sealands Grove, son graduated and is going to play in college, and he's been a high school football coach almost as long as I've been working at the newspaper, and he was just kind of ready to experience the other parts of his life. And the Midwest coach moved away to another part of I think he moved to Florida. And the Mifflinburg coach's son is going to go pitch at Wake Forest. The older son pitches at, it's slipping my mind, but another Division I school in the South, and then he took over as assistant principal. So he's just gotten a lot busier.
Huh. Well, the good news to me is they weren't forced out. See, that's the part that like bothers me. Simply, you're forcing out the high school football coach? Yeah. Aren't they kind of held based on the talent that was provided in town?
that's way too simple.
I know. I'm a simple person in that regard.
Hey, our cover story is, you know, I've talked a couple times that Coach Jim Roth is going to go for 500 victories at his first win of the season. And he even pointed out, you know, none of the legends ever end well. You know, they forced out Jazz Dimmick in Mount Carmel. They forced out George Curry once in Berwick. You know, it's just, you never know what's going to happen. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I know it can. And that's what bothers me. I'm always of the opinion that sometimes you don't know how good you have it till you don't. And so I would ask the good people of Berwick, how good have you been since?
Well, they're going to find out because their new coach this year is George's grandson.
Yeah, exactly.
CJ.
Yep.
Who actually spent last year in a staff at Sealands Grove. I got to talk to him a couple times. I think that's, you know, their talent's a little down. I don't know if he's going to get it turned around this year, but I think that he's got a good brain for the game, and, you know, that Curry name will go a long way for him up in Berwick to get him some shots that other people won't.
I met him at a Penn State football practice. George introduced me to him. You know, it was a long time. He was obviously a lot younger at the time, but yeah.
He's not that old now.
I know, yeah. But you know what? I think that's great. I asked the question. We need to make this move, okay? Now, sometimes it's obvious you have to make the move. I mean, there's just, no matter what it is, common sense, gut feel, whatever it happens to be, you have to make the move. There are other times where I've been baffled by when they've made moves, and I ask later, it's like, do you realize how good you had it? Yeah, pretty good. Just me. That's just me.
Part of it is taking it a little bit too seriously around here sometimes. The other part of it is, in this day and age, you have to get along with everybody, and if you don't get along with the wrong person, it causes you a lot of problems. And that's clearly not right, but that's just. It's just the way it seems to work in youth and high school sports these days.
I mean, look at the suit and Big Lou. I mean, it's like suddenly out of nowhere, they're not getting along. I don't know.
he didn't buy the right white third wife insurance.
Yeah. Part of the problem is he didn't have a third wife. Big Lou didn't quite understand that. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I saw a story on travel miles in the Big Ten. And I had a couple of Penn State fans say to me, well, up there in the top six, top third, travel miles, those Ohio State and Michigan are down near the bottom. And I said to him, I said, you have to be kidding me. I said, no offense, do you understand geography? What? I said, geography. I said, the four West Coast schools are traveling more than anybody else. I said, who are the next three on the list? Rutgers, Penn State, and Maryland, the three easternmost schools. Of course they're going to travel more. Who travels the least? Indiana and Purdue. Where are they? Okay? Dead center. Like, come on. Get yourself together.
Never get, never let facts get in the way of righteous anger,
oh,
Steve.
Oh, I just, I sit back and go, come on. Okay, look at a map. When the Big Ten tournament's in Indianapolis, for example, obviously Don Fisher of Indiana drives, Rob Blackman from Purdue drives, but so does Paul Keels from Ohio State, so does Brian Barnhart from Illinois, so does Dave Ennett from Northwestern, so does Brian Bush from Michigan, so does Will Tiemann from Michigan State, so does Matt LePay from Wisconsin, so does Mike Grimm. He drives in from Minneapolis. Why? Because it's a drivable trip. Why is that? Oh, I don't know. Indianapolis is in the center of the Big Ten. When it was in D.C. and New York, they all had to fly. I'm the one that drove.
And now you have a ride for dinner in Indianapolis and don't have to worry about it.
That's right. So, but, you know, it's like, I mean, not everything's a conspiracy, people. Right? It's not. And that's what people have to understand. Not everything is. It's just common sense. Just like the Florida State thing. Got to go back to that again. Florida State. Here we go. Right? Well, did you see Pete Thamel's tweet today?
No, I didn't, actually.
Pete put out a tweet today, and it was then followed up by others reporting it, that Florida State and Clemson, based on his sources, in the ACC, you have to... you have to declare by August 15th your intention to be a part of the next season. All right. So, according to all of his sources, the Florida and Clemson will not do anything on August 15th, which means the 25-26 season, they will be members of the ACC. And again, this is like the common sense part of it. Is the part that you sit back and go, okay, what are we doing here? And I keep going back to, so this Tony Petitti is going to address the media this week at the Big Ten. This is what I expect him to say. Number one, we're happy with the 18 that we have. Right? So we're not looking around. Yeah, we'll always in the future keep our options open, but we are not looking around. We're happy with the 18 we have. Now, why is he going to say that? Okay, let's start with this. The last thing you want to be accused of is tampering. So you make sure that you phrase things in such a way where you are not tampering or can even be remotely close to tampering. And not only that, which brings us to point number two. No conference in collegiate sports, in major college football, basketball, whatever, has attempted to go through a year with 18 schools. That would be the second point I expect him to make. We want to see how 18 works first. Because when the season's over with, I mean, the year, whether it's volleyball, softball, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it may be, I mean, certain sports aren't affected. For example, men's lacrosse is not affected. Wrestling is not affected because their membership didn't change. But you have to see how this works, and then you have to find out two things right away. Number one, what worked? Good, we're on the right track there. That works. We have to keep going with that, build upon it, whatever. Number two, what do we have to tweak? You can't do that with AT. So everybody wants to jump in. Yeah, we got to get Florida State, Clemson, get that Florida market. Well, first of all, the TV contract is not up for 6 years. And in that point, at the end of the 6 years, finally Washington and Oregon will be fully vested, where they'll get a full slice as opposed to the halves they're getting now, which, again, I've reverted back to on the common sense level to begin with. If they're getting half, what are you getting? There's not a money tree in the backyard at Fox. It seems like it, but there isn't.
You know, I was going to say, Dennis Dodds brought it up almost 10 days ago now, but, you know, who wants them? And that seemed to be what I got out of most of last week being off what I read, is that they don't want them. And if they wanted an ACC team, it almost seems like, you know, we've mentioned this before, they'd rather have North Carolina come, you know, North Carolina available than take either Clemson or Florida State.
No question. No question. And that's another part of the common sense tree here. I understand the emotion of this, especially for the Florida State fans, because when I was in Florida and I had those back-to-back speaking days back in April, right, I got asked a lot about that from people down there. Like, okay, well, and I understand the passion of it and the curiosity of it, but nobody wants them right now. And there's a reason why they don't want them. Number one, you can't bring them in and have them take away from everybody else because there's no additional money right now. So you'd be taking away from other people. I mean, my goodness, the ACC brought in SMU, Stanford, and Cal. SMU came in for nothing. They're taking zero of the TV package. You want to know how much Cal and Stanford are getting apiece? $11 million apiece. That's it. That's nothing. That's barely above what an American Conference team gets. I think an American Conference team gets something like $7 or $8 million per from the TV deal. Stanford and Cal are getting $11 million each.
Cal's getting almost as much from UCLA as they are getting from the...
Exactly. Exactly.
The playoff.
Exactly. Yep. Good point. All right. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Names. We don't recommend that. Just thought we'd mention that. Message from this station and the ad council. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, we got Purdy, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up, huh? It's going to be, what, 2 weeks from Wednesday? We're all going to get together. Be a fun time. It's always a fun time. For a great cause, the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Turnout's always great for that. So,
do you think people will be surprised that what I've been on this show off and on since the end of October, and that'll be the first time we've been face-to-face?
They probably are surprised by that, because a lot of shows where people are in different locations, they have the Zoom option. They can see each other, and we don't have that. One of the reasons it happens to be is that, for example, Todd says the job's more palatable because he can't see my face. Right? So, you know. But, yeah, that'll actually be the first time.
Actually, it'll probably be the first time we've been in the same room since, like, the last time I covered a Crosscutters game and you did it for the Spikes.
Right, yeah. That's probably right, Todd. That's probably right.
And that would be like 10 years.
Right. Now, I do tell suit stories.
Oh.
I mean, I'm out at the Big Ten tournament, and Paul Keels, who's the play-by-play voice of Ohio State, has a chudder. And we were out in Indiana the year before I brought this up. I brought it up again. He goes, yeah, I've got this chipper putter thing. I said, yeah, my friend calls it a chudder. He goes, a what? A chudder. I said, did you order it online? He says, no, I was in some... He said, I got it at Walmart or something. I said, yep. I said, the difference between you and he, Paul, is that you use it for legitimate purposes. I said, he keeps statistics on it. And everybody in the group turned, like Mike Grimm, who does the Minnesota games, Wes Durham, who was in my group both days from the ACC network. He does what? So he keeps stats. I'm 4 for 7 in my chudder. I said, now, we're around the green, guys. I said, to me, that means he failed 3 times. I said, we're around the green.
I wasn't too fond of the chudder name, and then I realized the other option was the pipper, so.
Oh, God. No. No.
If you'd have called it that, you probably wouldn't be telling stories about him.
No, because if you did, the authorities would say, can we have a couple questions about this thing called the pipper?
This is true, too.
It's like, I'd rather be on a need-to-know basis. I don't need to know. But he keeps stats. That's maddening.
Yeah, well.
The last couple of years, I've been in a normal group. Steve Engel, Purdy Brothers. We've had a blast. As opposed to, I'm 4 for 7. Like, you're 4 for 7. I don't care if you're 4 for 7. Oh, it's. I'll say this. It's a little bit the pep talk I get from Jack Ham before we play, because we'll play 2 against 2. I always get a pep talk in the first tee, because he always says to me, Steve, I need to talk to you for a second. Because, look, we can't lose to these guys.
I can't think of somebody I'd rather have a pep talk from.
Oh, I mean, first of all, he's not used to losing ever. And I think the 9 times we've done this, we're 8-1. And I will freely admit, the one was really on me. I'm the one that lost it. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to nilgamechangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.